You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. Jesus interprets the law of retribution. Learn more about non-retaliation in week 7 of our series, Redefine.
All right, good evening, 7 p.m. service. Guys, greet that person sitting next to you and tell them, I'm so glad you could be here tonight. So for those of you who are new here, let me just introduce myself. My name is Tom, and I'm one of the campus missionaries here, okay? Now, today, we're down to the seventh installment of our series called Redefine. Tell your seatmate, seventh. It's an epic series. We're down to the seventh installment of our Redefine series. And if you're new here and you're wondering, why is it called Redefine? This series is called Redefine because we are currently going through the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus' most famous preaching. And in that preaching, Jesus practically redefined how His disciples, how His followers ought to live their lives. Kung before, muni ang lifestyle nila, this is how they viewed things, this is how they lived their lives. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, okay, He preached some pretty radical things that changed the way His disciples ought to live their lives. And we've tackled so much of that in the past couple of weeks. This week naman, we're going to tackle another radical topic by Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. And that is non-retaliation. Tell your seatmate for a while, non-retaliation. Non-retaliation, I know, medyo wordy siya and all that. Retaliation, or retaliate, simply means to get revenge, to get back at someone, or sa Bisaya pa, mubalos. And we're talking about how Jesus viewed personal revenge. We're going to discuss more of that later. Now for us here today, maybe you're thinking, medyo bugat lagi ng word nga revenge. I mean, Tom, I'm not siguro like this person right here. I'm not an assassin out to kill someone, okay? Wala naman ko hit list dire, di naman ako patyo ng boss na ako, ako mga kaaway na ako sa campus. But I'm not an assassin naman, alright? Wala naman ko sa teleserye Gapoyo, okay? If you watched, diba, kamatay mo mga Filipino teleserye. Medyo intense yun ang Filipino teleserye when it comes to revenge stories. Diba? Sampal here, sampal there. Okay, we're gonna get to that later. But, you know, whether or not, if you think that revenge is just for some assassin, some movie plot, some TV series, and if you watch TV series and movies, you'd see that it's one of those common themes there are, revenge stories. But even if we're not like that, I hope you will come to understand that at the heart level, all of us have that capacity and have that, you know, desire to get back at someone whenever something wrong is done to us. I mean, just a quick question. How many of us here today have ever been offended at one point in your life? But na-offend na mo at one point, okay? Na-bad trip mo, kita mo yung tawhana, kitabos ng wong niya, goal na kay ka, okay? Diba? We've all been offended at one point. At one point siguro, we all wanted to get back at someone, as petty the reason as it may be. We're all on the same page when it comes to wanting to get back at people. Is that, for example, some of the TV shows we watch, example, this one, are you familiar with this show? The old famous Tom and Jerry. It's a simple show about a cat and mouse trying to outdo one another. Balos-balos sana sila. In one scenario, Tom is, you know, bullying Jerry. Another scenario, si Jerry na po yung nagbalos na po. We tend to see those things in our shows. Another thing, if you watch NBA, alright, a couple of months ago in June, well, this happened, alright? For some of you, wala pa mo ka-recover siguro, ani. I hope naka-recover na mo. But basically, the amazing thing about this win right here is that for a lot of people, and especially for Golden State Warriors, when they won the NBA playoffs this year, it was quote-unquote, sweeter ang win for the fans as well because in some ways, they managed to get back their loss from the Cleveland Cavaliers the previous year. It's still kind of like getting back at someone or a group of people. Or this one, in Tarlac, there's this place called Taksiapo, you know, wherein you would pay to buy those dishes, those plates, those cups, those mugs. And what you would do is that you were going to throw at the wall and shout the person at you that you're angry with. So for example, if si Kiko ang kalagotan ako, ah, si Kiko, okay, tangaso na ako ang plato, ang platito dyan sa wall. People, like, you have to pay for your anger. Okay, bayad ka dito, palit kang plato, ilabay ni mo, ah, kasi si Kiko sa mukha niya. Ah. That's what it is. Now, I'm sharing all those things because deep down, at the core, at the root level, okay, all of us have that capacity and have that desire. Now, when something wrong is done to us, we want to get back at those people who did wrong to us. Like this baby right here. Revenge shall be mine. Balak kung gusto siya ka-cute. We all have that. I've learned this a while ago. Okay? Now, hunger for vengeance is our natural proclivity. Proclivity simply means our natural inclination, our natural way of doing things. It doesn't take much for us to retaliate whenever something wrong is done to us. Now, the big question here is, how did Jesus view personal vengeance? What did He have to teach to His disciples and followers with regards to this matter, and what can we learn from it? What does it mean for us here today? That's what we're going to learn here tonight as we talk about non-retaliation. All right, so if you have your Bibles with you, kindly ready them to Matthew 5, verses 38 to 42. It's only a couple of verses. It says here, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." All right, so we just read the part of the Sermon on the Mount about non-retaliation. Now, the passage we just read a while ago, it opens up with this interesting statement in verse 38. It says there, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." So Jesus here is, when we started this part of his preaching, he quoted something. Now, what is Jesus here talking about? And why did he open his statement with this? Okay, "You have heard it said." Well, basically, Jesus is quoting from one of the laws in the Jewish law. One of the 3 times it was mentioned in the Jewish law. And that is the law of retaliation. One example is in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 21. It says there, "Show no pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot." This is where Jesus was quoting. This is one of the examples. In other words, in the Jewish law, it is actually mentioned when you hurt someone, it's eye for an eye, it's tooth for a tooth, foot for a foot, hand for a hand. You can even add their head for a head and all those things. The point there is there's an equal retribution whenever you do wrong to someone. And when we look at it on first glance, we might think na, medyo pagka-savage lagi ani. Ano brutal kay ni, I mean, gikan ni Lord, Jewish law and all that. This was one of the laws God gave to His people of Israel. So why is it na medyo brutal siya lang tawon on the onset, di ba? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and all that. On the onset, it looks kind of brutal and savage siguro. But if you look at it closely, and when we try to dig deeper into understanding this law, we will actually see God's grace, God's mercy, and God's justice. This is actually something that the people of Israel had to thank for when God instituted this law. Let's say this law didn't exist. Let's say there's no eye for an eye, there's no tooth for a tooth. If I were to strike Kiko right here, right now, sampalong na ko siya, or sambago na ko siya, for no apparent reason, if I'm passed by lang ko, I'm gonna punch him in the face. Or anyone for that matter, if I'm gonna do this to someone, almost immediately, that person is going to retaliate, of course. Diba? Kung kamo ko na, kung sumbagon mo, magpatanga-tanga mo. Diba? We would retaliate. It's our default human nature response to retaliate when someone attacks us. And when someone attacks us, we don't just settle for something equal, diba? If I were to punch someone, that person is not just gonna, okay, ikun ako, one punch, patas na ta. For any of you who've been in a fight or been in a quarrel, an argument with someone, or you've seen this videos and what, whenever someone will attack another person, it doesn't just end with one punch. Kung mag-away sila, it doesn't just end with, okay, quits na ta, nakasumbag na ko ni mo, okay na ta, patas na ta. Our default human nature is always to go all out and attack that person until, you know, nabugbog na nato na siya. Or we feel like na-satisfied na ang injustice na na-feel nato. So in other words, there's no equal retribution whenever a wrong has been done. In other words, this right here, this law right here, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, is actually something we can be thankful for. And it's called lex talionis. Those of you who study law, you know this way better than me. Lex talionis, it simply means the law of retaliation. Lex meaning law, talionis meaning retaliation. There's an equal retribution whenever someone does something wrong or does something harmful to another person. I mean, if you think about it, if you look at all our penal codes, all our laws right now, whenever you would break the law, there's an equivalent punishment, di ba? For those of you who are driving, my motorcycles, my cars, if you go speeding, if you break the traffic laws, there's an equivalent punishment for that. If someone commits murder, someone tries to steal something, and gets caught by the police and the law, there's an equivalent punishment for that. That's what we mean by eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. It was this law that gave an equivalent retribution to anyone who suffered harm or suffered injustice. Now, there's nothing wrong technically about that. But what was happening here, and why did Jesus open up with this statement? Now, you have heard it was like this. And in verse 39, "But I say to you," he says something else. The reason for this is because Lex talionis, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, that kind of law. The context for that was reserved for the civil disputes, the court cases. This was something reserved for legal disputes and all those things. But what happens was the people took it out of context, used lex talionis for their personal relationships. In other words, they used this to justify, quote-unquote, personal revenge, personal vengeance. Where in fact, the Bible prohibits from having personal vengeance. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, it says here, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. It was actually there, one of their laws. And yet, they took the lex talionis out of context and used it for their personal relationships. And they used it to justify personal revenge. And here comes Jesus. If this is how they lived their lives before, here comes Jesus telling them to radically change the way they view personal revenge, to change the way they live their lifestyles. And that's where we pick up in verse 39. Before we go to verse 39, and before we go looking into the several examples, Jesus told his disciples how they ought to respond in the face of the opportunity, whether to seek revenge or not. I want us first to understand that there's a specific context here that non-retaliation exists. And as I go through this topic right here, I am not saying that Jesus was anti-self-defense. I'm not saying that Jesus was like, forget the law and all that. There's a specific context here where non-retaliation exists, where Jesus was coming in and trying to teach his disciples. And that is the area of persecution of their faith. All these examples right here primarily fall on that area. What should you do when you are being persecuted by your faith as a believer of Jesus? The following examples are those. What should you do? How should you respond when you're being persecuted by your faith? The first of those in verse 39 says here, but I say to you, do not resist the evil one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, when we think about slapping cheeks and all that, siguro this is what we think about. Mga Tagalog, teleserye, the Wildflower, mga Tiglantawana, those of you mahilig maglantaw, telenovela. Probably seen this so many times, time and time again. Bida versus kontrabida, magsampalungay sila. That's our idea when we think about slapping cheeks. But what we just read here a while ago is actually quite different. It's actually more severe. And for this, let me just call on a volunteer. Okay, so this is Kiko, okay? What we just read a while ago is that it says here, but I say to you, do not resist the evil one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. Now, again, when we think about slapping people, we automatically think about, you know, using our right hand to slap them with our palms. Diba? Kasi, that's how we usually do it. Now, again, how many of you here are right-handed? Can I share a wave of hands? Wow, right-handed people. Okay. How many of you are left-handed? Okay, there's a few, okay? Now, it says here, if anyone slaps you or strikes you in the right cheek. So, bro, asa yung right cheek nimo? Ah, yeah, okay? Since I'm a right-handed person, I don't slap someone on the right cheek like this. Wait, di ko ganahan nimo. Mouth ka. You don't see people do it like that, diba? When it says there, someone slaps you in the right cheek, it's a backhanded slap. It's more severe. When it says someone strikes you in the right cheek, you do it like this. A backhanded slap to the cheek. Thank you, bro. You guys sit down na. The thing with that, when you slap someone with the back of your hand, it is like twice the usual insult. When you slap someone, yes, it's an insult, but it's a general kind of insult. But to slap someone with the back of your hand, it's like telling someone, you are nothing. It was something so grave for the people of Israel. Medyo severe nga insult to. You're degrading someone to something that's nothing. When you slap someone with the back of your hand, walang kwenta ka. That's what it means to slap someone with the back of your hand. And Jesus here tells us now, when someone does that to you, when someone degrades you to a point that calls you, you are nothing by slapping you, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Turn the left cheek as well. Jesus tells us that's how we ought to respond when we are being persecuted by our faith, when we are being insulted. We are being insulted by our faith, whether we receive personal insults. Meaning when someone insults you for your outward appearance, the way you look, as believers of Christ, as followers of Jesus, we have two simple options. Either to respond in insults as well, to retaliate by attacking them as well, which is our default human response, or to respond in the way Jesus prescribed us, to turn the other cheek. What Jesus meant by turning the other cheek is simply to lovingly absorb the insult. till their seatmate absorb. Have you ever punched a punching bag or anything that's when you punch something, mo absorb rang impact or something? It's kind of like that. To turn the other cheek is to not retaliate, not to return the insult with another insult, and just to lovingly absorb that insult. Now, if you're wondering, man, Tom, why should I do that? I mean, unsa nakaw ni Jesus nga muna igingon niya? Di ba sakit ba yung insulto? Sakit ba ang maslap? Ikaw kung gusto palangon ka, okay, then mo offer pa ka one more cheek. Why did Jesus have to say these things? We're going to learn more about that later on. But basically, Jesus calls us to respond differently compared to what our human nature would want us to respond. To respond lovingly. Secondly, in verse 40, he says here, if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Now, for us to grasp this statement, we need to look at our culture once again because we don't really wear tunics and cloaks here. Anyone here na may seatmate ga wear a cloak, na tunic? We don't really wear that, di ba? I have here a picture of a man in a cloak, in a tunic. A tunic is like the inner shirt, like a t-shirt. And the cloak is that big piece of cloth you see right there. So imagine, siguro, if we were to have it here today, the tunic would be like the inner shirt, the long sleeves, and the cloak would be like the blazer, karang coat na ginusar nato. That's what it is. And the verse says, if someone sues you, don't just give them your tunic, give them your cloak as well. That doesn't seem much, but in their culture, by law, no one can take someone's cloak over a 24-hour period. Even if I were to take, let's say, si Kiko na siya cloak, if kuha na ko ang cloak niya, kaya ako siyang ikasuhan, gisuna ko siya, I get his tunic, I can't take his cloak permanently. By law, I cannot do that. Because in their time and culture, a cloak was very important. For poor people, that's what they used to sleep in. Pag wala sa balay, sa sis lang maturog, a cloak was very important for them. So Jesus here, when he told these people, now if someone sues you for your tunic, give them your cloak as well, even if they can't take it legally. Give it to them. Katagi ang cloak nila. So if you think about it, man, that's an even more radical statement right there. You're giving something to the people who's trying to persecute you through suing you. You're giving to them something that they can't take legally even. So if you think about it, that's a pretty radical and, you know, big statement right there. And if you were an Israelite, you were listening to Jesus, you were a Jew, you're probably shaking your head, Jesus, nga naman, why do I need to do this? Why give my cloak? Why go beyond the tunic? Pwede the tunic lang. And Jesus did not stop here, even church. He has two more examples. In the next verse, in verse 41, and if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Now, what does this mean? When someone tells you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. In their time and culture, much of this is really digging into their time and culture. If you were a Roman official or Roman soldier, if you were carrying something, let's say this is my things. I was a Roman soldier. I could tell anyone, like an Israelite or a Jew, and have him carry my things for 1 mile. So let's say, you know, si Kiko, he's a Jew, he's minding his own business, he's having his dinner, he's excited to eat, he's ready to eat that meat and all that. But then, just as he's about to eat his food, nakit-an na ako siya. Since I am a Roman official or soldier, I have the power by law to tell Kiko to bring my things, oh bro, this is my thing, and have him carry it for 1 mile. And he has no say in the matter, meaning he has to drop whatever he's doing. Here, come here, carry this. He has to walk for 1 mile and carry whatever it is that I asked him to carry. Now, when you think about it, it's pretty, you know, discomforting, medyo hassle. And the Israelites hated that. They disliked it so much because the soldiers would do that to them. Imagine lang ninyo, you're doing one thing, you're trying to meet a deadline or something, siguro, then someone comes to you, di, buhatan eh. Carry this. Don't just carry this for 1 mile. Let's say it's here to Robinson's. You have to carry that item as a soldier. So imagine that. And Jesus says, don't just go 1 mile. Go beyond it. Go 2 miles, okay? If someone forces you to go to 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. And again, that's beyond the law. The law only tells the Roman official and soldier that you can have someone carry your belongings for 1 mile. Jesus says something so radical. Go with a person 2 miles. And the last example, before we try to understand what Jesus is trying to say here. It says here, verse 42, give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Now, this doesn't mean Jesus is telling his people, well, dasta ng kwarta ni mo diha. There's a specific context right here. But Jesus is trying to tell here is that if someone is trying to persecute you through borrowing of money, the thing with their culture kasi is that every 7 years, makancel ang debt. Di ba, pretty amazing, no? Ewan ninyo, may tatanan sa Pilipinas. And so what Jesus is trying to tell us here is simply to be generous. Even in the face of persecution, if someone tries to persecute you by borrowing money, say there, give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. It doesn't mean, again, that you just give away everything. Now, to recap all those past examples, the slapping of the hand, the giving of the cloak, going beyond 2 miles, the giving of money, all that, one has to think, why? Why did Jesus instruct his disciples this thing? Does this mean helpless ang mga disciples? If someone were to attack them, beat them up, turn the other cheek, sige, patya na lang ko. Does this mean bang someone will try to rob them, defenseless line, all that? Again, this was in the area of persecution. In other words, like that backhanded slap, that was not about a physical attack, but simply about insults. When someone tries to insult you, you don't retaliate by insulting. But if you see someone being attacked physically, a criminal, something is happening, you don't tell the person, "Oy, you fight back there, turn the other cheek as well." If you see someone about to be stabbed to death or something, you don't say, "Hey, fight the hell, just let yourself be stabbed, turn the other cheek as well." You don't say that to the person. That was the area of insults and persecution. The big question in here is why? Why did Jesus tell these radical statements to these two disciples? Why turn the other cheek? Why give the cloak? Why go 2 miles? Why give money and all that? Why do all these things? You might ask as well, why all these things, Tom? And what does it mean for us? To answer this question, the simple answer is to glorify God by pointing people to God. Tell your seatmate to point people to God. At the end of the day, how we respond to persecution, church? How you respond to someone trying to persecute you, someone trying to insult you? You might not be sued right now, like what the example, but if ever that happens to you, how you respond to forced labor, how you respond to persecution, basically will affect other people as well. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, it says here, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Gentiles being, you know, non-believers. So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. What we can simply learn from this verse is that it says here, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Act honorably. Respond well in the face of persecution, because how you respond will either draw or point someone to God or put them away from God. How you respond will greatly affect someone. The testing of your faith, church, could be in fact part of someone's testimony. How you respond to persecution would possibly draw in that person to know more about God. Because if you think about it, you know, all those examples, if you were a normal person and you were to see it happening, if you were the Roman officer and you ask someone, go 1 mile, and it goes 2 miles, you would probably think, "Ano si nakaon ng June? Ano si nakaon niya? Ano, okay kay siya? Ano willing siya mag-go 2 miles?" If you were that person who sued the tunic and you get the cloak as well, and you know you can't get the cloak on legal means, you're like, "Ha? Sure kay hatag ni mo? Ano ni hatag ni mo?" Like, it puzzles them. If you were to insult someone, degrade someone with the back of that hand, and the person responds, not by attacking you, not by slapping you as well, but by turning the other cheek as well, you'd probably be like, "What's wrong with this person? Ano ka ni siya mo respond? Aren't you mad? Don't you want to fight me? Get back at me?" Somehow, it shakes people. It gives them a different response, wherein they're unprepared for that kind of response. Whenever someone responds to them in kind and not in evil, people are unprepared for that. And that's what God wants us to do. In the face of persecution, to not retaliate insult with insult, to point people to God, to glorify God by drawing people to God. So what does this mean for us here today, church? If you're here today and maybe you feel like, "Tom, in my home or in my campus or in my workplace, I've experienced something similar like that." Maybe in your workplace or in your campus, whenever you're around people, the people around you, maybe you're the only Christian, you're the only believer, and people make fun of you. Pag-abot mo sa campus or sa school, the people are like, "Uy, praise the Lord, brother, nilala ka dere." Maybe you're that person. Maybe you're being ridiculed by your faith. Maybe you're being persecuted even in your home. Maybe in your home, you're the only Christian in your home. Whatever situation you're in right now, okay, whatever background you have right now, if you are going through a time of persecution of your faith, what does it mean for us? Firstly, persevere. Maybe for some of us here today, we need to be reminded of this. To persevere, to endure, to endure the hardship, to endure suffering for the sake of Christ. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, when we open the Sermon on the Mount, when we open this series, one of the Beatitudes there is, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We glorify God, we please God when we choose to endure and persevere for His sake, rather than immediately satisfy our own hunger for vengeance and retaliation. For some of us here today, maybe that is God's word for you, to persevere, to trust God that He's going to be the one to give the justice, to make it happen, to persevere. For some of us, maybe it's not just to persevere, maybe it's this difficult word right here, to forgive. Tell your seatmate, forgive. To forgive those who are persecuting you. To forgive those who have insulted you. Those who have ridiculed you, mocked you. Romans 12 says here, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Do not repay evil for evil. In fact, in Romans 12 verse 14, it even says, bless those whom who persecute you and do not curse. Just how radical that is. Bless those whom you persecute you. Now, I'm pretty sure in our prayer requests, in our prayer times, when we pray for people, diba, it's normal for us to pray for loved ones. We pray for our friends, our classmates, our workmates, our family members. It's normal for that. But here, Jesus says na, bless those whom who persecute you. Bless those people who think little of you. Bless those people who look down on you. Bless those people who ridicule you, mock you. Those people na magbinuang nimo on social media, those people who make fun of you in the workplace and the campus, bless those people. And not just that, just here, do not curse. Do not curse them. Do not say, Lord, do something against these people, Lord God. Lord, I pray that they're going to fail in their exams. Lord, I pray that ma-fire ni Satanan sa workplace. Do not curse. It says here, bless them. And does it seem difficult? Yes, it seems difficult on the onset. I remember when I was in grade school, I had people I was really angry with. I can vividly remember praying to God. I was not such a Christian, but I vividly remember praying to God, Lord, pakipatay anini, Lord, ni Kwan and so, Lord. Lord, kuan anini siya, Lord God, samu kay siya. Like, really, okay? So I know what it feels like to be angry with someone. You want to get back at someone. I know what it feels like. Di ba kita natay saying sa Bisaya, balos-balos lang. And to hear Jesus say, do not retaliate, do not curse, bless that person. That seems like, Lord, unfair, Lord. Lord, you do not know unsa ka harsh ang words gi say. Lord, grabe ang insulto. Grabe ang gi-post sa social media, Lord, pang insult and all that. And yes, it may be painful. I'm not dismissing the pain. I'm not dismissing the hurt. I'm not dismissing or belittling what you've experienced at the hands of the people who probably persecuted you. I can't fully understand your situation maybe for some of you as well. But the point here is that Jesus calls us to not repay evil with evil, but to bless those whom will persecute us. Those who persecute us. I'm not talking about criminal activities and all that. If you see someone who killed someone, you report that to the police and all that. I'm talking about persecution here, church. Romans 12 verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If possible, live at peace with the people who persecute you, hate you. Verse 19, do not take revenge. Tell your seatmate, do not. Do not take revenge. My dear friends, this is Paul writing, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. You know, the amazing thing about this verse? If we feel like, you know, we are suffering through persecution, we can trust in the fact that we have a God who will avenge us. That we have a God who is just, who is loving, who is merciful. He sees what we're going through. And He will not just leave us to suffer alone, you know, forever. Parang, God is not like, bahala ka dyan, forever ka dyan, mag-suffer. It is His to avenge. Revenge belongs to the hands of God. In verse 20, it says here, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Can you imagine that? Kung imong kakalaban, gigutom, feed him. Some of us, you would be happy. Yes, gigutom siya, ga-suffer siya. Kana bagay na nimo. if we see our enemies suffering, some of us, we would rejoice. That's our default human nature. Honestly, how many of you, nalipay mo one point kay inyong kalagot nag-suffer? Ako, at one point, I had those moments. But the Bible says something different. It says here, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Palitag boss coffee, palitag juice. What's up, buddy? In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And in verse 21 says here, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When someone insults you, someone tries to do evil things to you, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome the evil, says here, with good, by repaying it with good, repaying it in kindness. Have you ever heard a statement, kill someone with kindness? This is practically it. Kill someone with kindness. Don't repay an insult, a retaliation for another retaliation. As God's people, we are set apart to respond differently the ways that the world responds. To respond differently. I remember we even have one student. This student, he was bullied in high school, and a couple of days later, after nakadugo na story, I found out that he attempted to do one-to-one with his bully. He attempted to disciple the person who was bullying him. He attempted to preach the gospel to the person who was bullying him. And this was a high school student, guys, a young high school student. I was pretty amazed that his attempts to trying to win the person who was trying to ridicule him, trying to put him down, trying to bully him and all that. And so if he can do it, you know, all the more we can do it as well. We can respond in the way Jesus called us to respond. Why? You might ask, Tom, it's really difficult to persevere, to forgive. It's really difficult. Yes, it's difficult on our own. We might even think, Lord, do you understand how painful it is? You know, the truth is, God knows how painful it is to be ridiculed, to be mocked. And we can draw strength in the fact that we have a God who knows and understands. Because in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 to 23, we see here and we are reminded of what Jesus went through for our sakes. It says here, he committed no sin. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. Verse 23, but when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. In some versions, he did not retaliate in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. When Jesus was captured, being captured in chains, when he was spat on the cheek, grabe na gani ang backhanded slap, but to be spat on the cheek is even levels higher than that. When he was spat on the cheek, when he was accused falsely, when he was ridiculed, mocked, he did not retaliate. When his clothes were taken from him, when his cloak was taken, he did not retaliate. He even gave his very life for our sakes. When talking about going the extra mile, he went beyond the extra mile. He went to his death on the cross. Jesus suffered. He suffered persecution. Not because he was guilty of it. No deceit was found in his mouth. He was sinless. He suffered for our sakes, for you, for me, because of our sins. By taking our place, he suffered for our place. And he died on the cross for our sins. And because of that, we are here today to enjoy the benefits of his sacrifice. We've been saved by grace through faith in what he did on the cross. Can you imagine if Jesus chose to retaliate? If people spat at him, accuse him falsely. What if Jesus did something? What if Jesus said, you know what? Di na ko feel makrucify karon. Sayop mong tanan. What if Jesus did something to retaliate? What if he didn't go the extra mile and die on the cross? What if he didn't allow his clothes to be taken from him? What if he chose to fight back? None of us here today would be recipients of his grace, of his love, his mercy, of what he did over 2,000 years ago. But because he chose to endure, to persevere persecution, we're all here receiving his blessings. And what he did serves as an example for us na in life, yes, as a believer, we will encounter persecution. If you're here today and you're following Jesus, it will be no surprise to encounter persecution. It is part of the package as a follower of Jesus. Kasi si Jesus himself, he encountered persecution. How much more so us? Nag-follow tayo niya. We will encounter persecution. We will encounter hardship and trials. The question is, how will you respond? Will you choose to retaliate? Or will you choose to glorify God, glorify Jesus, point more people to Jesus and to God, but choosing to persevere, but choosing not to retaliate and repaying the evil with kindness, with good? At the end of the day, church, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross enables us to live a lifestyle that doesn't repay persecution with evil, evil with evil, but enables us to live life without retaliating.